All right. Now, I want to take a little bit of time yet. I promise I won't do a full-length sermon because that would get kind of late, wouldn't it? If you were here last Sunday, which it's that time of year, I know people are on vacation, so not all of you were here last Sunday, and I know not all of you are here today. But you know what I mean. There's that laughter again. The entire body is not present today due to vacations and being elsewhere. Is that better? Not all of you are here today. Oh, my goodness. If you were here last Sunday, I shared the first of two messages that I wanted to, and again, if you've been at Living Hope for any amount of time, you know we've been talking about identifying additional elders to expand our leadership team. And so last Sunday, I really spent the focus last Sunday was on the New Testament pattern of leadership. We talked about a number of scriptures in the New Testament. I talked about the term pastor and elder. And I want to just review that briefly. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I would really encourage you to do so because it's foundational for what we're talking about this morning. So I'd really encourage you to do that. It's on the website. And then the other thing was I sent out, well, made available last week, like our written proposal regarding the elder team. Those of you who are here would have gotten a copy of that. And I tried to email it to everybody who wasn't here. So if you didn't get a copy, in a few moments, you'll have opportunity to get one of those. But that's just in a few moments. Just quickly from last week, I asked this question. What do we call the leader of the church? And in most of our circumstances, situations, we would usually use the word pastor. The person that leads the church is a pastor. But in the New Testament, the term that is used pretty much exclusively for the leaders of the church is the term elder. And not only elder, but elders. When you see the word elder in almost every case except maybe one, it is plural. There are elders of the church. What does James say? Is any of you sick? Call on the elder. No, call on the elders of the church. That term is used throughout. This, I put some of this in your program, just for your reference in case you weren't here. I put this phrase up last week, and I'll just read it again. This was helpful for me. Elder and pastor are not the same thing in the New Testament. I'm reading this quote that's in your program. Elder refers to the office one holds by virtue of appointment or election. Pastor is a spiritual gift that one is given by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 4:11. One can have the gift of pastor without being an elder, and one can hold the office of elder without having the gift of pastor. Now, I talked a little bit more about that last week, but hopefully that's understandable. If I could, I think that the correct association with the word elder, based on what it means throughout the New Testament, the correct association with that word is leader. When you think of an elder in the church, you're thinking of a leader in the church. What's the association with the word pastor? See, I think pretty much in our culture, we would say pastor means leader. But in the New Testament, if you look at the one time the word pastor is used, can anybody guess what the word is? Actually, what English word we would associate with the word pastor? Shepherd. It's shepherd. The term that is translated pastor in Ephesians 4 is translated throughout the New Testament, the same Greek word, as shepherd, oftentimes referring to Jesus, the shepherd, the great shepherd. When he says, I am the shepherd, it's the same word that we translate pastor. So that's why I think it's helpful to think of this thing of being a pastor as this is more a calling, a spiritual gift, whereas an elder is serving in a position of leadership. Now, I put some silly stick figures up here again last week in just describing different leadership arrangements, if you will. I said, okay, you take a pastor, you give him a congregation, and in one model, the pastor is the leader. He leads everything. He makes all the decisions. He tells people what to do. They follow his decisions. If they don't like his decisions, they go find another church. But he is the man. And jokingly last week, I said, you know, we could put just an S on his chest, give him a cape, because that's kind of the paradigm. You know, he is the super pastor. He is the man. And please, again, I'm not knocking pastors who lead in this way. This can work. But that's one arrangement where there's one person leading the church. Their influence is huge. Their vision, their personality, all that is infused deeply into the congregation. Another one might be, okay, well, let's take a pastor and we're going to put a team around him, a team of leaders around him. But really the way it's arranged, the leaders are kind of in the background. The other leaders are kind of in the background. And they exist basically to do what the pastor wants. And they exist to make his vision become reality. So he's still kind of the man, although we bring some other people around him. That could be another arrangement. Another one would be some churches will have a separate group of leaders other than the pastor who basically lead the church. They make the decisions. They set the vision. You might call them a church council or something like that. The pastor is not part of that, but he relates to that team. Again, I'm not trying to knock any of these. I'm just trying to identify them. But this really is what we are desiring at Living Hope, is that the pastor is part of a team of elders that lead the church. A team of elders. So a pastor in that role serves as an elder, part of the team that leads the church. So that's just a really quick overview. And then just very briefly yet, what I had shared last week was, to me, the focal point, if you will, of this whole move towards an elder team is simply this, that it is a design for multiple leaders in a congregation rather than one. And you'll see this in the background when we get into the document here in about 30 more seconds. Living Hope has always had multiple leadership. It's taken on a couple different forms, but we just want to expand that, to see multiple leaders. Why? The load is shared. Work can be distributed among the team by gifts and by calling. Leadership transitions are much smoother when you have multiple leaders in place. So that was one. Another big thing is that with multiple leadership, leaders are accountable to other leaders. This team is accountable to one another. Now, not only to one another, but we have oversight through HopeNet Fellowship of Churches, and HopeNet Fellowship of Churches advisor will be here next Sunday. Steve Cody will be bringing the message next Sunday, and he's walking through this process with us. But we have accountability also to that network. Then finally, the pattern that you see in the New Testament is multiple people hearing from God. It's not just one person, not just one man trying to discern what God is saying, but by having multiple voices. So what I want to do just fairly briefly is just review this document. Now, again, I had these on the stage here last week for you to take home, so I know some of you got them then. If you didn't pick up the copy with your name on it last week, I tried to email that to you. So hopefully you got that. Now, if you didn't receive it, if you're here this morning and your name is not on our mailing list and you would like that to see, or if you weren't able to print it out, and I don't have enough copies for everybody, but the ushers have some right now, so just raise your hand. If you didn't get a copy or you would like to have a copy, your name isn't on the mailing list, go ahead and do that. We just want to distribute them. I don't know if you remembered to bring it along this morning. I should have put that in the email. It's not that big of a deal, but I just want to review a few things on here briefly. I hope you got a chance to read through this. Also, as I said, if you weren't here last Sunday, the biblical background for this really is in last Sunday's message. So I shared a lot more scriptures last week. So the document that was just handed out or that you've received is the proposal of the transition team. And I just want to, having said their name, I just want to pause and thank the transition team for the hard work that they have been putting into not only this process, but as Mike and Claudia said, you know, all these interviews they had when they got here, well, that was a transition team, and the transition team was setting all that up. So I just want to thank them. Again, joining Jay and Sharon and Molly and I on that team were Rick and Carla, who are right out here, and then also Brian McHugh, who's right here in the front in the cool light pink polo shirt, and Kevin. I didn't see Kevin. Is Kevin here? Kevin. Oh, there you are. I didn't see you, Kevin. Kevin Wanger. So just let's show them our appreciation. They did a great... So the document you're holding or that you received this week is the work of that team and this journey we've been on. So I just want to touch on some of these. I won't read the whole thing. You've been able to do that. But as I said before, as it says in the background of the document, since its beginning, really, Living Hope has always had multiple leadership of some sort. It was an unusual church plant because Living Hope was not planted by a single church planter, but there were two leaders. Do you remember who they were? Those of you who are newer in the congregation may not, but Pastor Dave Whitmer and Pastor Dick Landis were the church planters who together planted Living Hope. So we've always had some form of multiple leadership. The next thing in the proposal was the vision. I just want to read this. The vision for what we are doing now in naming additional elders is simply to see Living Hope Community Church led by a team of godly elders who are committed to Living Hope and called to serve this body by bringing their unique gifts and perspectives into a team leadership environment. A team leadership environment. So that, why do we want to do that? So that the congregation is led into faithfulness, fruitfulness, and into its unique calling. Do you believe Living Hope Community Church has a unique calling of God on it? And that's not because we're special. Every church does. I believe every ministry has a unique calling. Every person has a unique calling. That's what Mike was saying 10 minutes ago. Every person has a unique calling. So leadership for a congregation is about seeing that congregation move into that calling more and more and walk in that calling. The biblical basis is on there. Again, I shared a lot more about that last week, but I'll just share this one paragraph. We do not believe an elder team government model is a rigid scriptural mandate. In other words, if your friend goes to a church and they don't have an elder team, please don't call them some bad name or something like that. You know, every church has to discern, but we really believe this is a sound and a wise approach to leadership. We do believe it is very clearly outlined in Scripture that this was a pattern that was used in the New Testament. But we also, it's also an approach we're more excited to embrace more fully. What is the role of an elder? Okay, we're asking God to identify more elders. What will elders do? Will they start leading worship? Will they replace the worship team? Will they be responsible for maintaining the building? What does an elder do? What does an elder team do? Very simply, elders lead the church. You know, if you go back to that model of like the senior pastor that kind of does everything and makes all the decisions, the responsibilities that you would associate with like that key leader that makes the final decisions, those are made by the elders as a team. That's probably the simplest way to say it. Anything, any significant decision, vision, doctrine, discipline, you know, financial matters, all those types of things that you might think, well, a pastor's really going to be wrestling in his study all day long about this decision. No, those decisions and those things are worked through as a team. Elders will be equal in authority and responsibility, but not necessarily equal in carrying public roles. Let me just say that again. Elders will be equal in authority and responsibility, meaning that an elder, when a person is chosen as an elder, they are not like a step down from me as a pastor. They serve on an elder team then just like I would. I'll get to my role in a minute, but I think I said this last week. I know that a number of you, well, ever since Jay has been an elder, Jay Pfeiffer has been our one elder, serving with Pastor Josh and I when Pastor Josh was here. But I know a number of you would go to Jay and you would share concerns, you would give him ideas, hey, could we try this, what about this? And when you did that, you felt like, I trust you felt like you were talking to the leadership of the church, because you were, because that's the role he serves in, and we'll just broaden that number a little bit. So some elders may serve in very behind-the-scenes things. Well, shouldn't elders preach? Not necessarily, not unless they have a gift of preaching. If they do, then they probably will. But we're not trying to create any little boxes. And we'll see a little bit more about that when we get into qualifications. I need to move quickly. The role of senior pastor. How does my role change in all this? Well, really, it's like I said, I'm already serving on a team. I've been serving on a team. Jay is an elder. He and I serve together. So basically, I keep doing what I'm doing. But here is the exciting part for me. One of the things an elder team will do is ask the question, and part of this question will be directed at me, and they would say, Pastor Ron, what do you do best? And what are the things you're currently doing that really aren't the best fit for your gift mix or for your calling? Those things that you're currently doing that don't fit you best, we need to reassign that. We need to reassign them to somebody else. And we'll ask out of each other. You know, Elder John Doe, what is the calling that God has placed on your heart? And what might be some unique expressions that you could bring into the congregation by serving in that way? Does that make sense? So my role as senior pastor on the elder team is I lead the team. I'm responsible for the proper functioning of the team and making sure that everything is going the way it's supposed to. And if there's some issue of disagreement or the team can't quite settle on something, ultimately as a leader of the team, that comes back to me. So that's my role as senior pastor. Let me go quickly then into, this is all in your document on qualifications for elders. Who is qualified to be an elder? The summary would be that qualifications are certainly not about perfection. You don't have to be perfect because we would not have any elders if you had to be perfect. Qualifications are much more about your life. I'll touch on that more. Let me just read down through these, and I'm going to have to go through this quickly. And this is in your document if you got to look at that. I'm just going to go down through the list. Biblical qualifications, and this is from 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, and Titus 1, 5 through 9. An elder is to be above reproach, which means blameless. Again, that's not perfect, but someone who has addressed issues that need addressing in their life, if they've done wrong, they do all they can to make that right. The husband of one wife, they have to be faithful in their marriage. Respectable, hospitable, able to teach is a phrase that you'll see in the qualifications for elders. Again, I don't believe that means the gift of preaching necessarily, but able to teach, able to handle the word of God, able to apply the word of God to a given situation. I've enjoyed watching Jay do this. A number of businessmen will come to Jay and they'll say, Jay, like, what's this, you know, how do I, help me understand some of the things you've learned in business and some of the things in God has taught you. People have come to Jay with family issues and like, well, how can you, and Jay is able to rightly to handle the word of God and he's able to teach. Now Jay is one that you won't see up here on the stage that often. He doesn't really want to be up here on the stage, but he is a teacher. I know he is. I know a number of you have been the recipient of that. So able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not overbearing but humble, not quick-tempered or quarrelsome, not violent but gentle, free from the love of money, manages his own household well, a good reputation outside of the church, loves what is good, upright, holy, not a new convert, and is willing to be tested, is led by the Holy Spirit. Now I'm gonna stop there to just throw in case, for those of you here who think there's no chance I'm ever going to be an elder in any church, so I'm just checking out of this sermon, this doesn't apply to me, I'm going to make it apply to you right now. Are you qualified to be an elder? Looking at that list I just read, that long list I read, above reproach, husband of one wife, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Now for the women, you would flip that around, wife of one husband, you know. I would suggest that when Paul gives these leadership qualities to Titus and Timothy, what he is describing, we might say, well, he's describing a leader in the church, what a leader has to be like, right? I'd probably agree with that. But let me put this twist on it. I believe what he's describing is a mature follower of Christ. That's what he's describing. And he's saying, if you want to identify someone to be a leader in the church, make sure they're a mature follower of Christ. So here's my challenge to each of you. You might say, there is no way I'm called to church leadership. Never, ever. I mean, I would do anything in the world other than that. That's okay. I'm not saying that all of you are called to church leadership, but I am saying this, every one of you, if you are a follower of Christ, you are called to walk in maturity. And you are called to walk in holiness. And you are called to walk in rightness. And even use this qualification list, like you might not have even read this, like, whatever, you know, this doesn't apply to me. Read the qualification list for elders and ask yourself, am I qualified? And if not, why not? Because this is a description of a mature disciple of Jesus Christ. And if there's something on there that jumps off the page and, whoa, that's not me, I would be disqualified as a result of that, to say, okay, Lord, I want this fruit of the Spirit in my life. I want maturity in my life. So I would invite all of you, as an exercise in this, apart from this process of choosing elders, to go down the list of qualifications and say, God, is this a description of me? Because if you are a follower of Christ and you long to follow him, to please him, to serve him, all of these things should apply to your life, okay? So that I wanted to throw that in there before we finish. Now let me say this. I believe the qualifications, the list of qualifications, it's interesting to notice what's not there. Paul says nothing about how much you've learned or education. He also doesn't say anything about your resume, how many leadership positions you've already held. You notice that? I believe Paul's qualifications center primarily on, it's not about learning, it's not about the leading you've already done, it's about your life. I think Paul is clearly teaching, if you are a mature follower of Jesus Christ, you are capable, if you're called, you're capable to serve as a leader in a local congregation. Don't disqualify yourself because, well, I didn't go to school to be like a pastor or leader. I've never had any leadership training. Now, remember what the Jewish leaders recognized about Peter and John when they were before the Sanhedrin? It said they realized they were ordinary and unschooled men, but they had been in the presence of Jesus. Now, that is a cool leadership statement, don't you think? Ordinary people, unschooled people. I'm not against education. Please don't misunderstand. I think education is wonderful, but we shouldn't use it as something higher than what the Bible says. Okay, I could go on forever about this. The last qualification that I didn't read because I didn't want it to confuse what I said a minute ago was that this is the last one on the list. The elder positions will be filled by men. Now, we agree with HopeNet Fellowship of Churches' viewpoint on this, that the governance position of elder within the church is taught in the New Testament and throughout Scripture as a role that is filled by a man. Now, I know maybe not all of you agree with that. I hope not all of you disagree with that. Maybe not all of you agree with that. Women in leadership in the church, absolutely. Women are gifted. They're empowered by the Holy Spirit to lead in many, many ways in the church. But the role of governance, this role of elder, we believe, according to Scripture, is to be held by men. Having said that, though, one of our desires, and hopefully you read this, if you read through the document, is that for a man to serve as an elder at Living Hope, if he is a married man, it will be extremely important, and we will expect that his wife also feels a calling to this role that God is calling her husband to. What do I mean by that? Ask Molly, ask Sharon, both of who are not in the room right now, so I'm free to say anything I want. But ask them, ask Millie. Millie is in the room. Ask Lois. I don't see Greg. Oh, they're on vacation, I think. But Lois Hirschberger. And there are others of you that have women, wives that have seen their husband in a role of leadership, whether it's in the church or some other way. You know that affects the whole family. It's not just something that the husband does. So our desire is for the wife of an elder to be fully committed to what God is calling her husband to be supporting, to offer encouragement. There are times, we do it now, and there will be times when the elder team gathers with their wives. We value the input of our wives. We really do. We value their perspective. We value their input. So it'll be important for a wife to share that calling to that level. All right. Let me make one more statement, and then I'm going to read through the process real quickly. Let me just mess with you a little bit with wording again. I think we would agree that what we're looking for here is we're looking for someone who has demonstrated themselves to be a mature leader to serve in this role. But I would suggest what we're really looking for is someone who has demonstrated the capacity as a mature follower. What did Paul say? Did he say, follow me because I am such a good leader? Or imitate me because I'm so worthy of imitation? He said, follow me or imitate me as I follow Christ, as I imitate Christ. So really, when we're looking for church leaders, what we're looking for is someone who has demonstrated themselves to be a good follower, someone who can seek the will of God, someone who earnestly desires to hear what God wants and to lay their own agenda aside to pursue what God is saying. That's easy to say. It's hard to do, but that's what we're looking for. All right, I'm going to wrap up with the process, and I won't read through word for word, but basically, how are we going to choose elders? How are we going to do this? What's the process look like? For the next 2 weeks, and I know a number of you have been praying. You've said you've been praying. I appreciate that. For the next 2 weeks, we're entering into this season now of just saying, yes, Lord, we want to hear from you. The transition team is saying, yes, these are 2 weeks of prayer. We're going to be giving ourselves to prayer, to fasting in various ways. And we're inviting you to join us as a congregation. These next 2 weeks, we're saying, okay, God, we really need to hear from you. Who are the men that you're calling and who are the couples that you're calling to this role? So please join us in that. If as you are praying and if as you are seeking the Lord, you think he impresses someone on your heart that you think could serve in this role, you're free to share that with us. Free to share that with myself or with Jay. We welcome you to do that. That's not an expectation or any kind of weight on you. What we're basically asking is for you to pray for the process. But if the Lord would prompt you with someone like that, please feel free to share that with us. Your names then can be given to us over the next week by the next 2 weeks, by the 21st of July. And the transition team, again, going through the same process, they will be assembling any names that the Lord puts on their heart. And at that time then, those names will go to Jay and myself as the current elders, if you will. And then we will call in Steve Cody, who is a representative of HopeNet. You'll hear from Steve next week. And we will consult with him, and we'll just begin praying and seeking the Lord. We'll talk to different the people that have been that's names have been have been given. There may be some interviews there, and there'll be some dialogue with the transition team. We're going to just see how the Lord works through all that. So yeah, we'll go through this process of discernment. And then when we feel like we're settled on what the Lord is saying, then we will test that. Remember, one of the qualifications is a willingness to be tested. We will test it with several of the ministry leaders at Living Hope and just saying, does this feel right with you? Do you believe that the Spirit is saying yes to this particular direction of these individuals? If anybody has any objections, they have the opportunity at that time to say, I don't think this person meets the qualification. After we test that with some of the ministry leaders, then we'll test it with the entire congregation, where we simply give you the names that the Lord has placed on our hearts. And then as a congregation, you will have opportunity to affirm that or to raise any questions you have at that point. And that's really the process. Then at that point, when we're settled on what the Lord is saying, the one thing that was in your document, I'll mention it very quickly. A question might be, well, how many elders are we looking for? Are you looking for one? Are you looking for 10? How many elders are you looking for? We've agreed as a transition team that we felt that it would be best, at least for now, to choose no more than 3 additional elders. That would make a total of 5 with Jay and I. But we're not committing ourselves to that number. We're saying, God, what if God only identifies one person? Then we're going to be okay with that. What if he identifies 2? We'll be okay with that. What if he identifies 4? I mean, at this moment, we were saying that 3 is kind of the number we don't want to exceed. But we're just saying, God, we don't want to create any real rigid box here. Just lead us through this. Who are the names? Who are the people that you're calling to serve in this role? But at this point, we're saying 1 to 3 is what we're looking for. That's our thinking and what we feel the Lord is saying anyway. So I'll just mention that. That's pretty much it as far as the process. Please let us know if you have any questions. If there's something on this is unclear, something over the document that you've read, if that's unclear, or any other questions you have for us, we'd be happy to hear them. So I appreciate your patience. Let's pray together before we go. And again, we ask you over these next 2 weeks when we're really pressing in now, God, we want to hear from you who you're identifying. Pray with us. Will you do that? Will you pray with us as the Lord prompts your heart, your mind in this? Pray with us. If there is some way you're able to incorporate fasting over the next 2 weeks, you know, a time or two here or there, however that works for you, we would really appreciate that as we are really coveting the leadership of the Lord through this. So let's pray. Father, you raise up leaders. All through history, you've raised up various people to serve in various roles. And Lord, you continue to do that. We're so thankful for the leaders that you've raised up at Living Hope over the years, for the leaders that you're raising up right now. I thank you for Mike and Claudia and for this couple, Lord, that you've led to us in the way that you're raising them up and the way they'll be serving for others. Lord, I could go down the list of others who've stepped into positions of leadership over the years at Living Hope. And God, now we're in this juncture where we're saying we want to identify additional elders for an elder team. God, we want this to be a process that is led by the Holy Spirit, not one that is dictated by human reasoning or whatever the term might be. So God, I pray that over the next 2 weeks, as we're seeking you, as we're listening for your voice, God, that we would hear your voice clearly, that we would press in to know you, to hear you, to sense what you're saying. I thank you for the transition team. God, I pray for us as a team as we do that. And I pray for the congregation as they join us in that process. So Lord, again, we are just so thankful for the leadership, Jesus, that you give the church. And without your leadership, we would really be in bad shape. So we trust you. I also thank you, Jesus, for the leadership you give in each of our lives. And just going back to the comment about all of us wanting to grow in maturity, to be known as someone who is mature in our faith, that knows you, that walks with you. God, Holy Spirit, we are in need of you to achieve any of those things. We're totally dependent on you. So again, we just pray for your leadership through this process. I thank you for this body. God, I pray your blessing on them. And Lord, continue to direct our steps, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. Thanks so much. Thanks for coming. Enjoy the rest of your day. If there's any way we can pray with you today specifically, we would love to do that following the service here. Just come on up. And otherwise, be blessed. Have a good day. You're dismissed.